Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Faith is an action word. It's not simply something you have. It is also something that you do. Now, I know that most linguists would probably disagree with me on this because they would classify faith as a noun, not as a verb, which of course means that it is either a person or a place or a thing, not an action. And I suppose, strictly speaking, at least according to the rules of language, they would be correct. But God's word is not limited to nor defined by the rules of this world. And thus James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his epistle stated this concerning faith. He said, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Our Lord Jesus, in concluding his great and most dangerous Sermon on the Mount, said some things that no doubt laid the foundation for what James would then later write. Jesus said in our gospel reading this morning from the sermon, he said, "By their fruit," which means by a person's works or by a person's deeds, "you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so you see that Jesus too considered faith to be an action word. It's not simply a matter of something that you have, it is also something that you do. Not only a word that refers to what someone knows, but it's what somebody does. Not confined singularly to what you accept to be true, but also then what you do with that body of truth. And that's why believing in Jesus is so dangerous. Because it, by necessity, must change the way that we live and think and act. And if the faith that we claim to have isn't doing that in our lives, if we still live and think and act like the people of the world, then we may be among those on the last day who cry out to God, "Lord, Lord," whom he will then say that he never knew. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you love him? Do you have faith in him? Are you truly one of his disciples? Then show it. Each and every day, show it. Put his words into practice. Be like the wise men who built his house upon the rock. Love your enemies. Pray for the people who make your life miserable. Help the people who you don't like, who are not deserving of your help. Be a person of integrity, even when it's going to cost you something. Avoid lustful thoughts, even though you are tempted. Honor your spouse and honor your marriage, even when that spouse is not honoring you. Reconcile with anyone that has something against you. And reflect Christ in all that you do, even if it means personal sacrifice and personal persecution. Did you think that I was maybe just being a little melodramatic a number of weeks ago when I first started this series And I called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount the most dangerous sermon ever preached. What do you think now? If you think that I overstated the case, then I think that you haven't really been listening over the last number of weeks. This sermon that Jesus preached is dangerous. Because, you see, it calls for a level of discipleship that is dangerous. It's not merely about coming to worship once or twice or a month or even every week and putting something in the offering plate. It's about loving and sacrificing and giving and helping and living in a way that is contrary to every inclination that we have by nature. The first Jews who heard Jesus preach his Sermon on the Mount had no idea what following the Messiah would mean for them. They all thought that when the Messiah came and they followed him, they would make their lives easier and better. As some of them began to follow Christ, though, they quickly learned that just the opposite was true. For to follow the Messiah, Jesus, was to die to oneself, figuratively, and sometimes even literally, a truth that has been lost on much of Christianity today. Far too many people in the church today have welcomed the cause of discipleship without counting the cost of discipleship. People in the church are all for fellowship gatherings and worship events and programs, but they never figured nor accepted the true cost of following Jesus. They've never taken up their cross to follow him. They, and perhaps we too, have just followed him. And thus we need to remember what James said. He said that faith without deeds is dead. And so I want to ask you today, what kind of faith do you have? Is your faith living and giving and sacrificing? Or is your faith dead? I'm not sure how most of you would answer that question, but I'll tell you how I answer that question. When I compare my life and my faith to the discipleship to which Jesus calls us in his Sermon on the Mount, I realize that my faith, while maybe not dead, is quite often on life support. And that's scary to me, because I don't want to be one of those people on the last day who says to Jesus, "Did I not prophesy in your name?" And have him say to me, "Yes, but I never knew you." And so I try to put my faith into practice, because I do really, I want to honor God with my life. I want him to be proud of me. I want to be proud of the way that I live my life. I want to be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. But no matter how much I want that, no matter how diligently I pursue that, I know that I'm never quite going to make that. And thus, I'm brought back again to the cross. Brought back to that blood-stained tree. To be reminded that my salvation depends on Jesus' faithfulness and not my faithfulness. It depends on His sacrifice, not my sacrifice. I am forgiven and I am saved because Jesus died and rose for me. Not because I have been such a faithful and good disciple. And that's true for all of us. Thank God. The call to follow Jesus is a call to a very dangerous discipleship. Not because our salvation is at risk, but because the comfort and the leisure of our lives is at risk. I hope that you've seen that throughout this summer as we have studied in depth Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I hope that His sermon has challenged you to dig deeper and to be better and to serve more and to keep less. Not because you need to in order to be saved, but because you want to, because you already are saved. And I hope that as you reconsider today on this rally day here at Christ, what God has done for us through the love and the sacrifice of His Son Jesus, that you would recommit yourself to the ministry of this congregation and to the dangerous discipleship to which God has called us each through baptism. To Him and Him alone be the glory. Amen.